Aren't you thankful that we know who holds tomorrow?
Yes.
And He holds our hands. We welcome those on Facebook that are watching, those that can't be with us this morning. Again, it's so good to see every one of y'all. It's just a great blessing, and we pray the Lord will bless us this morning with His presence as He comes. Let's begin with a word of prayer, please. Father God, we just want to say we love You, and we thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You work all things well, and that You not only hold tomorrow in Your hands, You hold us in Your hands. And we acknowledge our need for You, and we ask, Lord, that You would just bless us with Your holy presence, not only today, but as we begin our journey to renew our journey together here at Grace Church. Lord, would You bless, would You lead us and guide us and direct us. Father, we pray for the leaders of our nation. We pray, Father, for our nation. We are in great need of You, great need of Your Holy Spirit to move among us, to rid the hatred and the anger and renew peace and joy and love in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just pray that You'll bless each one that we have on our prayer list, those that are unable to be with us this morning and those that have special need. We especially remember the McCoy family this morning and in the days to come, that You would bless them with Your sweet peace and comfort. Bless us now, Lord, as we study Your word together. May Christ be glorified. May we be strengthened and edified and find direction in our lives. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. I'd like for us to look at some scripture that's found in the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4. I've been trying to pray about what the Lord would have me to bring to you this morning, being the first Sunday. And he settled my heart on just something very, very basic. Very basic, something that we all know, something we all understand, something that we all put into practice in our lives. But it's something I just want to remind you of this morning and to remind myself of this morning. And that is our need for prayer, our need for communication with the Lord, our need for that daily walk and relationship that we have and He has designed for us to have with Him. So I would ask you, if you would, Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 6 verses. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His word this morning as we think for just a little while on this grand subject of prayer. And I'm going to ask some questions to begin with, and I already know the answers to these questions, but I want us to have our hearts and our minds zeroed in and going in the same direction as we begin this morning. So the first question I have is, do you believe in prayer? Do you believe that God answers prayers? I have to say that we have experienced it. I want to say just one more time how that when y'all first issued the call to me, I couldn't come to a peace about the call. And I didn't want to delay the answer to y'all, so that's why, in fact, Judy said, never have I answered a call as quickly as I did when I declined the call. But I didn't want you all to hang on. And then when I came to preach the meeting, my goodness, the Spirit of the Lord, if I'm not deceived greatly. The Spirit of the Lord was here, and He began working on my heart. And when I asked y'all to go back into prayer about it, I already knew what my answer was, but I wanted you all to have the same thought in the same direction. So I want to say to you, God answers prayers. He hears our prayers, and He answers them in His way, in His time, according to His will. So when we look at this and we look at what we're going to talk about this morning is, first of all, yes, we believe in prayer. And yes, we know that God answers prayers. And He doesn't always answer them the way that we pray them, does He? Sometimes His answer to us is no, you can't have that because He's got something else, something greater in store for us. So, but He does answer our prayers. And sometimes He doesn't answer them immediately. Sometimes there's a period of time there, but God is working things together. I believe behind the scenes, working things together, bringing things about. I believe in Romans 8:28, absolutely, that we know that all things work together for good for them who love the Lord, for them who are the called according to His purpose. I believe that. And I believe that God is constantly working in our lives. So, as we come together this morning, again, I just want to share some basic thoughts with you. God loves us, and God answers our prayers according to His purpose and His time. Now, in Isaiah chapter, I'm just going to get two verses here, but I'll just tell you, it's Isaiah chapter 56, verses 6 and 7. God speaking through the prophet Isaiah speaks concerning a covenant. And we know that that covenant that he's talking about is the eternal covenant that was made even before the foundation of the world, when God determined that in the fullness of time He was going to send His Son, and His Son would come to the earth. He would live a perfect life. He would not in any way deserve death. And yet at the fullness of time, at the set time, He would lay down His life on the cross. And as he's speaking about that all the way through. In fact, just a few chapters before this, he's talking about the suffering servant in Isaiah chapter 53. Now here in verse 6, he kind of changes the tune just a little bit, not the tune, but changes gears. And then he's talking to us now in verse 6. It says, also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants. Do you love the name of the Lord this morning? Do we love Him as we hear His name? Is there something about His name that just stirs our hearts? Is there something within us that when we hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a peace, there's a comfort, even in the midst of the storm when we hear that? He says, what He's about to say is, He's speaking to those that serve Him, yes, but it goes deeper than just a service out of duty. I don't think that we're to serve Him out of duty, not under the covenant of grace that we're in. We're to serve Him because we love Him, and He loves us, and He's made that love known to us. He says, to those that love the name of the Lord and to be His servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, that we embrace that work that Jesus Christ has done in laying His life down for us. Again, I ask questions. I already know the answers to them. But this morning, do you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is all sufficient for your home in heaven? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ has secured our home for all eternity? And there's nothing else that's to be added to that. It's purely and simply His blood. We're taking hold of the covenant when we believe that. We're taking hold of the promise that Jesus has and the Father has made to us and the Holy Spirit in taking hold of that covenant. He says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Okay, this is our first time back together. I saw the smiles when you came through that door. I was watching. I saw the smiles, and it wasn't just because of us being here today. You were glad to be back in the house of the Lord. It's been a long time, hasn't it? It's been a long dry season. And now we're back in God's house. We're back to worshiping Him the way that it's meant to be. I understand we're going slow about it, and Lord willing, each week we'll add a little bit more to our worship service till we get back to what we would say is the regular normal. I don't want the new normal, do you? I want the regular normal. I want it to be just like it. I want that old time religion. I want us to be back to that place where that we're worshiping Him with joy and gladness in our hearts and our minds. But we're taking hold of that covenant, and God has brought us back this morning to His holy mountain. That His house that is situated in the hills, Isaiah chapter 2 says where that He causes us to flow upward into His house. And that's what He's done for us this morning as we're back in the house of God. He says, even then will I bring to my holy mountain. I'm not getting away from prayer, I promise you. But we're back into that holy mountain. We're back into that place where that God has said, this is where that He will meet with us. Yes, I know He's with us wherever that we go, but He has established that we're to assemble ourselves together. That's why something was missing for the last 3 months. That's why something was not right in the last 3 months. And now it's beginning to come back to that. And Lord willing, again, we'll work back into that place where that we're back to worshiping Him as He's put in our hearts to do. But He says, I'm bringing them to my holy mountain and make them joyful. Again, that's that smile. It's not just a smile that's on the face, it's a smile in the heart. It's a smile that we experience within that is a gladness and a joy to be back in the house of the Lord. I'll make them joyful in my house of prayer. My house of prayer. I'm reminding myself this morning that this is the house of God. Indeed, it was sanctified, it was consecrated, it was dedicated to the worship of God. But God calls His house one thing. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that He calls it the house of preaching, and I love to preach. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that He calls it the house of singing, and I love to sing, and I love to hear good singing. But there's one activity that God says, this is my house. It's my house of prayer. So the basic that I just want to remind us this morning, we all know this. I just want to remind us that this is a place of prayer. Because quite honestly, if I don't pray, there's not going to be any preaching. If I don't pray, the singing, it might sound pretty, but it won't do a thing for my heart. But I'm telling you, all of those things, when God is in it and He's working in it, it begins to stir in our hearts. The singing just lifts us up. The preaching brings us together in worship and praise and just the assembling together. He says that's where the joy comes in being in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. I'm thankful I didn't have to bring a lamb this morning to be slain before I walked in, aren't you? I'll be honest with you, I'm thankful I wasn't a priest under the law. I'm squeamish when I see blood, so I never would have made it. I never would have made it. But there is that lamb that was slain. And there is that burnt sacrificial offering that has been made and it has been accepted by God, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we come in this morning with that sacrifice in our hearts that we're worshiping the One who gave Himself for us. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer. So this morning, as we think about this, we're in a place that is dedicated to prayer, to humbling ourselves before God, to seek His face, to bring ourselves in such a way as if to say, Lord, I am not perfect in any stretch of the matter. And in case you've forgotten, I'm not perfect. I'm no more perfect now than I was 30-something years ago, as far as Steve goes. But I come to You with my imperfections, and I lay them down before You. And I ask You, Lord, to forgive those things that are within me that shouldn't be, that I might be able to experience these things. See, when we come to pray, there's that humility that must be exhibited. It must be presented before the Lord. That's why, going back to my text in Colossians chapter 4, he starts out with, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal." I read some of the other students of the Bible concerning this, and I don't like to quote at them. I don't do a whole lot of reading after them. I prefer the Bible to be the reading that I do. But I do, from time to time, see what others think about this. And a lot of them say, well, verse 1 doesn't belong in chapter 4. Where does it belong then? It belongs where God put it, right? The Holy Spirit. And I understand men went through later and put chapter numbers and verse numbers. I understand that. And there are situations where that if you're not careful, you'll start in this chapter and verse 1, and it's a continuation of the previous chapter and the verses prior to that. So it's important to take it all into context. But I believe that verse 1 is there for a reason. I believe that he put it there for a particular thought for us to have in our minds as we come to humble ourselves in prayer. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You see how that God blessed Paul to be able to take something and just make a good progression of it from one thought into another. And so when you go back into chapter 3, understanding that when it was written, it was a letter. It didn't have chapter and verse number. We know that. I'm thankful for it now because it makes it easier to find, but it wasn't written that way, was it? But you go back and you look at what was leading up to this. In verse 18, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Verse 19, husbands, love your wife. 20, children, obey your parents. 21, fathers, provoke not your children. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You see, he's talking about communication there. He's everything that he's leading up to in those verses coming into chapter 4 is speaking of communicating with one another, whether it be husband, wife, parents, children, or servants and masters, or in our day and time, employers and employees. Whether there should be that communication that goes on from one to another. So He's bringing that from the natural, and now he's going into the spiritual realm with it, in that there is to be that communication. And God has designed it for us to have communication with him. God has designed it for us to be able to go to him in prayer and pour out our hearts. You know, that's why I love the Psalms. You go to the Psalms and you start reading and you see that they were men that they had problems same as we do. They had struggles same as we do. And they just begin to pour out their heart and pour out their heart. And a lot of them I read and I say, you actually said that? But that was what they were feeling at the time. And as they were pouring out their feelings before the Lord began to speak to them. And as they poured out their feelings, they're down here and the Lord begins to bring them up to that holy mountain, to that place of joy where that he's showing them that no matter what's going on in our lives at the moment, he's still in control. He's still in absolute authority of all things. And so he's bringing us to that point where that, yes, we pour out our hearts before him. Yes, we just, this may not be the proper language, we just spill our guts before him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt that way? You just, Lord, I don't know what to do, and you just start spilling it out. God says, that's okay, I can handle it. But we must do it in this manner. To remember one thing. He's the master. I'm the servant. I don't go to him in such a way as to say, I demand this to happen. I hear that sometimes and I tremble for those people that say, you just demand of God what you want and he'll give it to you. He doesn't worry. He doesn't owe me one thing. He's my master. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And yes, he's my friend. But first of all, he's my master. And I must never forget that. You'll find that I kind of bounce back and forth now. In our day and time, sometimes I see parents who want to be friends with their children. and it's okay to an extent. No offense to our young ones that are here this morning. Thank God for every one of you. But children still need authority. They need parents. They have friends, and we help them to make good choices with their friends. But they need that authority. They need that those guides that come as a result of parents being parents and children being children. And then when they get grown, then they become your friends. And that's when it makes it all wonderful. And that's when it makes it become such a great joy. But we have to remember, and so in this thing concerning prayer, it's His house. And He's the master. And so when I pour out my heart, I have to do it carefully. Not with bitterness, not with wrath, not with anger, not with strife. Just pouring it. This is what bothers me. This is what troubles me. This is what I don't know how to get around this. I don't know how to get through this. Lord, would you help me? Would you just help me get through this? Guide me and direct me in this way. So he's establishing, he's getting ready in verse 2 to go to that subject of prayer. Before he does, he gives us the foundation. He gives us the basis upon which that we stand or kneel as we come before Him. After establishing that, he goes on to say, now continue instant in prayer. Continue instant in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, which goes back to the questions I asked at the beginning. We believe in prayer, so he says continue in it. We believe that God answers prayer, so he says continue in it and watch. Watch for the answer. You know, sometimes the answer is right in front of us and we don't even recognize it. Sometimes the answer is there the whole time and we don't see it because we're expecting it to come in this way or that way or another way. And the whole time it's there. It's right in front of us. So he says, continue in prayer and watch. Because God's going to answer it. God's going to answer your prayer. And again, it's certainly not original with me, but I've used it many times and I still believe it. There's three legitimate answers to prayer. Yes, no, and not now. Wait. So he says, watch. Sometimes I remember growing up, I would ask to do something and I wasn't ready for it. And my father would recognize that and realize I wasn't ready. I couldn't handle what I was asking for. So he would tell me no, or he would say not now. And as we began to grow and mature, and I'm still doing that maturing, I still got a lot to grow. But as I'm doing that, then there's more and more and more as we're able to handle it. So he says, pray, be instant in it, be constant in it, and watch. And the whole time, give thanks. Give thanks to God. You might say, well, he hasn't answered my prayer. It's okay, thank him anyway. Because he's still God, and he's still hearing. He's still going to answer. He's still with us. He's still walking with us. He's still there. He's still there. So we have so much to be thankful for. Be thankful to him. And understand that he hears us, and he's going to answer that prayer. Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, he had his disciples gathered there. And he said to them, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Whatever you ask in my name. Now, some say, well, that's just a blank check. It's a blank check as long as it's written in the proper way. And that is in his name. And for the longest time, I found myself saying, I would get ready to say amen, and I would say, oh, I forgot to say in Jesus' name. But it's more than just tacking it on at the end of the prayer. To pray in his name, it means that whatever I'm asking, whatever I'm needing in my life, I'm going to use it in his name. I'm going to take that blessing and I'm going to use it to honor him. I'm going to take that blessing and I'm going to use it to lift up his name so that as I experience God answering my prayer, then I'm able to share with others. This is what the Lord has done for me. and to be able to share that God does hear and God does answer our prayers. And John then took that later on in 1 John, and he said, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we all remember the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. To me, that's probably the most perfect prayer that has ever been prayed. Not my will, but Thine. But at the same time, isn't that the hardest prayer you ever prayed? When you come right down to it, not my will. Because we all have our own will, don't we? We all have those things. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't be asking for it, right? But to come down to it and say, Lord, this is what I feel that I need, but I want Your will to be done in my life. I want You to have that proper and last say-so. Because You're the one that sees and declares all things. So continue instant in prayer. Watch for God to answer. And then be thankful. So, bringing this down to a close. And I know this is a shorter version of worship service today. I'm not saying I'm finished yet. I'm just bringing it to a close, okay? I still got a ways to go, but not as long as it has been from the beginning. Now, he tells us what to do with our prayers and what we should ask for in the verses that follow. And so I'm just going to take them like that he gave them to us. Verse 3. Remember, this is the house of prayer. And he says, pray for us. Sometimes I've had so many people say, well, I don't know if I should pray for myself. And some people have even told me, I won't pray for myself. Well, why not? Isn't that what prayer does? It's to help to cleanse and help to renew. And they say, well, it's a selfish prayer. Well, the first thing that Paul said here is pray for us. And he said, pray for me. But it isn't a selfish prayer. He says, pray for me that I can preach the gospel. Pray for me that I can open up the Word of God in such a way that people can receive it and hear it and understand it. That's not a selfish prayer, is it? So I want to say to you this morning, I need your prayers. Every time that I stand in this place, I need your prayers. But not only that, every time at home when I open up the Bible and begin reading, I need your prayers. I need to pray, Lord, help me to understand what it is that you're saying, not only to me, but Lord, how am I supposed to share that with someone else? Help me, Lord. Help me to understand. Because if I understand this in any way at all, though this is written in English that is on our level to be able to understand, it's a spiritual message. And my mind is not capable of comprehending the spirituality of it unless God reveals it to me. And neither are you. So as we open up the Bible, we begin to read, Lord, what are you saying to me today? What would you have me to understand today? What is it that I'm about to read that you're going to speak to my heart that's going to help me, that's going to strengthen me, that's going to give me direction, that's going to enlighten the circumstance, that's going to just remind me that you're with me and that you're the master and I'm the servant? So he says, pray for me that the door of utterance, that the door will be open, that I can speak in such a way. Eventually I'll get past thinking back in terms of, but I have shared this with, I think, every young minister that I've ever had the privilege to be able to talk with as they were explaining and sharing the burden that they have to preach. I hope I never forget sitting right back there in the dining hall. It was one morning, one day through the week. You remember Brother Charlie used to come and he would walk every morning. He would walk. And every once in a while I would just come over here, knowing he was going to be here. We'd just sit and talk. And he told me, he said, Brother Steve, if you'll preach so that the youngest person in the congregation can understand what you're saying. Everybody will understand what you're saying. But if you preach way up here, there might be one or two or three. And everybody else will go away saying, what did he just say? And I have tried to remember that. I've tried to share that with younger preachers that have come along. So when I pray for a door of utterance, I understand that to be exactly what he's saying. Help that door to be opened up. Don't let the door of my mouth be closed so that nobody understands what I'm saying. That's why I told you this morning, this is a very basic message. I don't know how to preach up there. This is a very basic message. But yet it's one that I need to be reminded of over and over and over. Pray, pray, pray. That a door of utterance, not only for me as a pastor, but as you encounter other people throughout the week, that God would give you a door of utterance. Because every one of us, at some point through every week, possibly every day, we're going to come upon someone that needs some words of encouragement. And where better is the words of encouragement than in God's Word? So Lord, give me, open the door of utterance that I might be able to share your word with somebody that's hurting. Would you agree with me that we live in a nation of hurting people? We live in a world of hurting people, but we live in a nation of hurting people. And quite honestly, we live in a town of hurting people. They're all around us. Open the door of utterance that I might know how to speak a word of encouragement, a word of comfort, a word of peace, a word of joy that would enable someone to get through their day. So pray for me. I ask you, pray for me. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will bless you as you encounter other people also to speak the mystery of Christ in such a way that they'll understand. Verse 4, pray that I'll make it manifest. And again, not original with me, but what's the greatest message a sermonist ever preached? Is it from the pulpit or is it out there? I believe it's out there. Don't get me wrong, I love to preach from here. But out there, the daily walk, and that's what he's working up to. My daily walk, if I speak one thing here and I walk something different out there, then I've just negated everything that I've ever said, right? So he says that I make it manifest as I ought to speak. Help me to walk in wisdom. So pray for my daily walk. Help me to be able to speak. Pray for my daily talk. And pray for those that are without. We live, again, in a world of people that need our prayers. We need our prayers for one another. But I tell you, from Washington, D.C., all the way down, we need to be in prayer. I believe our nation needs prayer more now, possibly than any other time. I know in my lifetime, but I think maybe any other time in the history of this nation, we need to be in prayer. We need to be on our knees before the Lord, praying and watching and being thankful. Because I'm going to tell you, as imperfect as this nation is, I don't want to live anywhere else. This is the place for me. This is where that I know that I believe God has given. And I've said it before and others may disagree with me, but I believe this is the promised land for the Gentiles. Just as Israel is the promised land for the Jews, I believe this is the promised land. And imperfect as it is, Israel was imperfect also. And they went in cycles. But when they hit bottom and they lifted up their eyes unto the hills from whence cometh their help, the Lord began to lift them up again. And when we do that, we have the assured promise of Jesus Christ, of God Himself, in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear their prayers and I'll heal their land. But we don't always go to that 15th verse. The next verse after that says, now God's still speaking. Now my eyes are open and my ears are attent to hear the prayer that comes up from that place. So I asked myself this morning, is God waiting to hear that prayer from our nation? I know we see it mostly in here on Facebook, and I'll try not to mention Facebook, although thank you, Facebook, for watching. Sorry. We see it. We see it posted just about every day. Somebody will post 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that's wonderful. I got to tell you, it's going to take more than just posting it. It's going to take doing it. It's going to take living it. It's going to take praying it. It's going to take waiting and watching and then being thankful when He does. To Facebook, thank you. God bless you all. To you all, thank you. This may not have been the exact message that you were expecting to hear the first Sunday, but I pray that it was the one that God put on my heart. I feel like it was for me as much as anyone else. God, help us to be in prayer. As we leave today, may we leave with a covenant in our hearts to pray for each other. To pray for each other. Take the church directory and pray for everyone in there. And then pray for those that are without. Let us pray. Let us be a praying... I know you are. But let us be a praying people. Let's don't stop praying now. Let's pray that God will bless not only our time, but without in every way. I don't want to hush because I know it's time, but it's not really time, but I know when I do, we're going to our separate places. I just want to look at you for a little while. So good. Brother Julius, God bless you. Thank you for all the years that you've placed here. We love you. Love all your family. Thank you. I'm going to end it by saying the doors of the church are open to receive members. I know we can't give the right hand of fellowship and the hugs. We'll do that later on, but for anyone that has a desire to serve the Lord at this place called Grace Primitive Baptist Church, give you that opportunity to let your desires be made known, and the church will wait upon you. I'm going to give it away. I know I would ask Judy to play, but that won't work.